comment on the exact reasons for not doing this conversion. I guess the wood raw material cost in North America for you guys is not the problem. It's actually a quite attractive setup, whereas you're, you know, in a quite tricky situation in Sweden, and the market opportunity seems to be excellent with limited amount of folding boxboard in North America. Is it the equipment price, or is it the weak SEK versus the dollar at the moment, or is there something else that we should know about?
No, I don't think there's so much other items. I think you're onto it, Robin. The key point I've said from the start is that, hey, unless we can secure a good shareholder proposition, we're not gonna do this. And as I mentioned in the beginning, the size of the CapEx is significantly challenged. I think you can look at that into both the cost of the hardware, but also of the services or the hour installation needed for this. Yes, I mean, currency has not helped on this case, but I think also from our view, we would look at this forward, that also the future cash flow will be coming also into the US dollar. So yes, there's a part of the currency per se, but you know, it's actually more the underlying inflation on the other component that's been the massive challenge for us.
I understand. Thanks. And then finally, just on, you know, in the midterm, I understand before, at least it sounds like North America is the key growth area and growth segment, and you're a bit challenged with the high wood raw material prices and cost in Scandinavia. Should we expect something else now to be the sort of key growth sort of avenue in the midterm, or is it still North America, or is it essentially profitability improvement that we go for from here?
No, I don't think anything else have changed. And I think as you know, we are fighting a slightly different, call it forces on the different side of the Atlantic, especially on the input cost. But the underlying strategy still remains, and how our focus is on driving our packaging materials first and foremost, and also how North America is the region for growth being identified. So all of that is still very much intact.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
The next question comes from Ola Södermark from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Ola Södermark, Kepler Cheuvreux, your line is now unmuted. Please go ahead. The next question comes from Oskar Lindström from Danske Bank. Please go ahead.
Thank you. One question here, which we talked a little bit about before, but is, I mean, if you're not going to be doing any significant investments in North America near term, as I understand it, are there other investment needs on the European side of your operations that we should be aware of, that are likely to be more imminent? I'm thinking primarily of the Norwegian project, which you've been talking about. So maybe if you could update us on the status of that project.
Yes. Hey, and good afternoon, Oskar. No, I think you're pointing on to the right area. I think the Norway project is still what we have, you can say, on the steps, so it's still looming. You know, we are progressing, and we have had a very good project collaboration with Viken Skog in our joint venture over there. At this stage, we are waiting for the you know, environmental permit to come through, and we don't really have an exact time on this. It's not unreasonable that somewhere between summer and Christmas that should be coming our way, but it's a little bit difficult to predict. And that's pretty much all we can share and have at that project for the time being.
And if I may just follow up on the sort of other investment needs, I mean, you recently or fairly recently completed the investment in a recovery boiler, but you have, I believe you have another recovery boiler that is also sort of at least on the time horizon to, you know, needing some care or replacement. What's the situation
Yeah,
there, please?
no, I can comment on this, and that's probably not a massive secret that we do have a boiler up in Gävle that is starting to call it meet its end of life. You know, we are still let's call it exploring and trying to figure out exactly how that will transition. There's obviously no imminent decision on this, and there's not something that you would expect in the near future, but let's call it on the midterm basis. And in some years, it's quite reasonable that we will come back and open that topic on what we will need to do and how the phasing of a boiler situation in Gävle will look like.
Right, thank you. And finally, if you have any comments on markets at the moment, now that we have you online.
No, I think it's actually pretty simple. It's very consistent with what we said in our Q1 call. I think we are seeing that the order books are picking up some traction. That's also what we expecting going into the Q2. That has been very much in line with what we saw some couple of months ago. And we are aware that the input cost in Nordic in particular is under pressure, and that's challenged with the wood cost. But there is ample of pricing activity out there, as we already had foreseen. And I think our view of still being able to offset to a large extent on all of that is still very much intact.
Wonderful. Thank you. Those were my questions.
The next question comes from Linus Larsson from SEB. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and a very good day to all. You've previously guided for CapEx of 2.3 billion for 2024. Now, looking at 2025, 2026, how should we think around, I mean, very rough ballpark numbers, obviously, but the CapEx in the following 2 years, I hear potentially the Norway project. I think you've said something like 700 million. Apart from that, what could potentially come up? Do I understand it right that, for instance, there isn't a recovery boiler on the horizon before end 2026? That would be sometime beyond that. And are there other potential projects that you have in mind already at this stage?
Hi, Linus. I can take this question. In terms of the CapEx, as you say, we have a base CapEx level of roughly 2.2-2.4 billion. That's also what we expect heading forward now. And that's split, roughly 500-700 million for North America and the rest for Europe. As Ivar alluded to, in terms of the Norway project, we need to await the formal grant of the environmental permit before we can make a decision on that project, and we'll get back with the figures around that capital expenditure at that point. And other than that, it's essentially the base CapEx that we would be able to guide for at this point in time and look into plans heading forward.
You can just add quickly on this, but it's a bit, as I said to Oskar, that the boiler, yeah, I mean, it will come at some point, and we will come back to it. That's not today. I think when you are into the end of 2026, it's not unreasonable that we will start to see something. But hey, it's premature to say anything else, and trust me, we'll come back when we are ready for this. And that's maybe more when we get into 2025, we start to get a better view on what that project will be.
Cool. And then on this gradual mix development that you're talking about, which is the big news today, obviously, in North America, how fast do you expect to be able to do that? If you look at, say, year 2030, what mix are you anticipating? What's realistic? How much would be graphic paper in 2030 or something like that?
Hey, it's a good question. Let me also say that we will come back to these details, Linus. So I won't maybe go as far to give all of those coordinates today because we're still working through that exactly how some of those moves will be. But I can say that if you look at the portfolio today in the U.S., it's obviously a business dominated by graphic. First and foremost on coated freesheet, and we have a small tail of coated groundwood. And then we have a good position on specialty, and you can look at that in the area of about 200,000 tons. And there's also some pulp that we're selling on the open market from Quinnesec. I think if you then go out, and then let's just use this with a big brush at the time and say 10, 15 years down the line, we are actually in many ways super committed on graphic. And graphic has been good for us. And we have very likely the most competitive assets in the whole of North America. And we will be in that category, in particular for the freesheet, which has a little bit less decliner factor in it versus the groundwood. But there's no doubt that year by year, that category is also going down. And it's not something that you can rely on having as the major bulk of your business further down the line. And we will then, and to be honest, started already how we can gradually increase both our specialty exposure, but also how then gradually go into containerboard and supplement also with some lower grammage cartonboard. And then you can read that both in terms of some SBS and some CUK. So I would certainly expect a very different mix product split when we come down the line. Good news is that a lot of the things that we are moving towards, hey, that's core of what Billerud is good at. This is what we sit with enormous expertise also here in Europe. And we already, as I mentioned in the beginning, done some test trials of some of this asset with very encouraging results. So we are actually very excited to pursue this plan, which we think is actually a much better plan.
Sounds great. May I just squeeze in one final question, and it's relating to subsidies? I mean, that has been a discussion point in North America. The way things have changed now, do you see any scope or room for subsidies from Michigan State, from the federal government, or someone else in the new strategic direction that you're now starting?
Question was around subsidies, right? Yeah. No, listen, I think it's very reasonable to assume that this grant or the discussions we've had in Michigan State is off the table. And we are very thankful for all of the support and all of the, let's call it, very, very good discussions we've had with Michigan State over the years. But I think the base assumption is that this is off the table with our new plan.
Just checking. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Johannes Grunselius from DNB Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi everyone. It's Johannes here from DNB. So most of my questions have been answered, but maybe Ivar and the team, if you could provide some more color on the shape and the standards of Escanaba, because I was under the impression that one of the machines over there needs to sort of be replaced because of old age and what have you. So if you can give some color on that, please.
Yeah, no, I think I can certainly do so. And that's not really the case. It is absolutely a fact that the asset base and Escanaba is an older mill versus Quinn. I mean, as I think I said in the beginning, Quinnesec is one of the more modern mills we have in North America and probably one of the newest assets there is. Escanaba is around 100 years old, but the asset obviously has gone through many different upgrades and transition. E3 is actually the oldest one. And I think now with some of the changes we've done there, it runs very well towards specialty paper, which I already mentioned is a big part of our strategy. E4, that actually machine is from 1982, so it's not a very old machine at all. I think the challenge there is just in terms of what caliber it currently is sweet spot around, and that's on the lower side, and that's obviously what we are then looking for on how we can increase that weight, and then how we can get the basis weight up so we can compete into different grades as I went through. But no, besides that, because this can be done in different shades of gray, there is no massive, call it investment need on any of those machines.
Okay, thank you. Helpful comments.
The next question comes from Andrew Lacombe from WLUC. Please go ahead.
Hello from Upper Michigan and Escanaba area. I'm just looking for your message to the employees, the 800 employees at the Escanaba mill on this news coming today.
No, I can repeat only what I mentioned in the beginning, that listen, we've been so impressed since taking over the Verso assets 2 years ago. And in many ways, it has exceeded our expectations so many manners. And I already mentioned how I felt the cultural fit from day one was, you know, hand in a glove. And you look in terms of what competitiveness those assets are, and you know, what results we've been able to produce has just been mind-boggling, if I'm honest, in not a very easy market context. I understand it's a big piece of news today, and I can also say that you know, we are more committed than ever to stay and remain in North America. This is, I also mentioned this in the beginning, a big part of what Billerud would look like. It's at this stage unthinkable to view Billerud in the future without North America. We have a new plan now, and we will change the direction. I'm very confident that this will be a very good play for both the company and also for the Escanaba mill.
We saw layoffs last September, some temporary layoffs. Do we see those possible in 2024?
I think that program we did was on a global scale, and it impacted all of our mills. We tried to solve that in a smart manner for many of the mills through, you know, vacancies and looking at the different natural attrition. I think that's the same that goes on for Escanaba. We have targets that we are looking to fulfill, and I think we are in good shape for all the mills, and that's pretty much the only plan we've had and we have on the horizon for doing any kind of changes on our global workforce.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Josefine Johansson from Handelsbanken. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My question relates to the transition plan that you have for the North American operations regarding environmental and carbon dioxide impact, because it's quite more significant than the European operations. Does this decision today have any impact on that plan that you have, or any investments that you plan to decarbonize operations, or is this something else?
No, and good afternoon. It's a good question. I think in essence, you know, we are still very much committed, and we have submitted a proposal for an updated science-based target. As you rightly point out, the vast reduction of that is scheduled to coming from North America. That is what we're still aiming for, and that is still something which is not directly impacted by this plan. It is true to some extent, we just need to verify some of our building blocks that they still match up, but a lot of it is around the alternative use of energy and also look at, in general, efficiencies across the value chain, and that's still very much untouched. So we are going forward to our new targets with full force.
So no expectations on delays due to this?
No, not any dramatic change from what we already communicated.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Ola Södermark from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I hope you can hear me now.
Loud and clear.
Yeah, perfect. Some technical issues. I have to circle back to the CapEx levels and investment levels. You're saying a relatively moderate number, or it's compared, I suppose, to the previous communicated numbers. But then you talked about the investment level of 500 to 700 million in the US as maintenance levels. Does this kind of stepwise conversion include, are they included in the kind of baseline CapEx level?
Hi, Ola. Just to clarify there. So level of 500 to 700 million, that's Swedish krona per year. So that's really the base CapEx and does not include any of the alternative transformation path or direction that we're talking about here.
And then you can help me out with relatively moderate number. Is it 10% of the previous kind of number that you communicated for a year ago, or is it 20%, or what kind of level, at least an indication?
Yeah,
I have to try at least.
No, I mean, I understand, and I think I hear the question coming from a different angle. Listen, I won't give you a number today, and we're still working that from different, let's call it, fronts. We need a bit more time. This will be a much quicker exercise for us to come with a better view, so that is not going to take another 18 months. I can say that, you know, the previous message track we had, which was back in December 21, and we talked about at that time 9 billion SEC for conversions, this is on a very different planet, okay? And it is dramatically lower than that. That's the best I can give you at this stage. And I can assure you, we look forward to talk about when we come into the second half of 24 to offer you a bit more details.
Okay, so it sounds like 10 to 20% then.
Thank you for the question, Ola. We will come back to the question. Thanks for trying.
Yeah, thank you.
So I think that completes the call today. Thank you very much. We used the 30 minutes. I hope it was helpful. We look forward to talking more about our exciting North America. And bye for now, guys.